Hello everybody, welcome to the first of a series of mini-shows in which I'm going to talk about my favourite edition of each of the great cycling classics. Classics time is my favourite time of the cycling year. I love these races. I love the way they are decided in a day. I love the unique nature of their routes, the way those routes encourage attacking, and the way each race comes down to moments where riders must rely on personal initiative rather than teamwork. So let's start with the first really big one of each year, Strada Bianchi. What a race this is. John and I discussed it on Velocast a year ago. The idea that despite Strada Bianchi being only 14 years old, it's already a classic. In fact, I would argue it's the sixth monument. It's that special. Strada Bianchi has all a race needs to be a monument except history. But everything else is so good, does it even need history? Anyway, Tuscany has plenty of cycling history of its own. Great names like Gino Bartali, Fiorenzo Magni, Franco Bitossi, Mario Cipollini and Michele Bartoli are all Tuscans. Its cycling fans are crazy about the sport. They always have been. Tuscany is a cycling hotbed and has a long-standing cycling culture. Ambitious riders from elsewhere in Italy move to live in Tuscany to develop, train and generally soak up the cycling ambience. So have many from other countries. For me, Tuscany is the Flanders of Italy, and Strada Bianchi is its Ronda, the region's defining bike race. But which one was my favourite edition? They've all been fantastic. Like every classic, Strada Bianchi doesn't produce unworthy winners, but I'm going to plump for 2016 and a steamroller performance by the three-time winner and record holder, Fabian Cancellara. It came down to a display of dominance by the Swiss rider, but one that had us on the edge of our seats, first willing on the underdog, then marvelling at the power of the winner. It was truly classic stuff. For me, the hero of the day was an Italian, Gianluca Brambilla. He started a move with 60 kilometres to go, playing a decoy for his Quickstep teammate, Zdeněk Stybar, and it was a role Brambilla stuck to through the slings and arrows of attack and counter-attack. And he might even have won but for Cancellara, who did something incredible. Brambilla's break shed riders until only he was left. Then he was caught with 20 kilometres to go by Peter Sagan. Cancellara and Stybar quickly joined them, and that was it. These were the best four in the race, and they weren't coming back. At this point, if the race had been a tennis match, the score would have been 40-30 Quickstep. Two riders from the same team against two from different teams. Brambilla attacked once, was brought back with 6 kilometres to go, and almost immediately went again. Now it was advantage Quickstep, because Stybar sat in and saved his legs. What normally would have happened was Sagan and Cancellara would have brought back Brambilla, and the fresher Stybar would have legged it for the finish. But Brambilla was flying, and Cancellara had superpowers. Brambilla launched for Siena and built up a good lead, especially considering the power of Cancellara and Sagan behind him. They were taking in turns, neither shirking, but the lead grew. 900 metres to go and the Italian had 11 seconds, but had started the final steep climb up into the centre of Siena. It looked doomed, but 100 metres later, Brambilla still had 11 seconds. 700 to go and the margin was the same. It was not much less when Brambilla hit the top of the climb and turned right with 500 metres to go. He was on a mission, but behind him, Cancellara had hit the launch button. He flattened the last part of the hill with only Stybar hanging on, and that by his fingernails. Cancellara was oblivious to anything but the finish line now. He swept past Brambilla with Stybar still in tow but unable to do a thing. Cancellara was unstoppable. He crossed the line in victory, and viewers breathed for the first time in well over a minute. Like I said, it was classic stuff.